It's time for overtime.
Now that's a tourist attraction.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
Turns, shoots, scores!
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
It's hour number two of Overtime on a Thursday, May 14th edition of the program. We were on the air early at 10, clearing the air at noon, making way for the Minnesota Twins, hopefully, to win the series against Miami. They lost yesterday 9-5. Twins are 19-24. They get going today at 12:40. Pre-game coverage at noon right here on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. Still to come, latest from the NBA, the NHL, the Minnesota Wild bow out in a very frustrating game from their perspective last night. A 3-0 lead after one on the road in Denver. The issue: they squander the whole darn thing, go to overtime at 3-3, and Brent Kulak, the hero for the Colorado Avalanche, who find their way to a 4-1 series win. And again, that does not look pretty, but we all know Minnesota played pretty decent in the series overall, but Colorado is a runaway freight train right now, joining the Carolina Hurricanes as the favorites to win the Stanley Cup this year. We'll also dive into some NFL talk later on in the show. Good, the bad, and the ugly, brought to you by Lewis Lawn and Garden. To follow that on as we make our way through this Thursday edition of Overtime, let's dive right in to your scorecard. Last night in the NBA postseason standalone game, Cleveland 4 points better than Detroit in overtime. Big comeback for the Cavs. They have a 3-2 lead in the series. Here is Donovan Mitchell on the difference in the last three games, all wins for his team.
I'm just the mental fortitude, being able to understand it. Like I always talk about, you have something to pull from, right? You know, so you have a situation in games one and two where you find, okay, cool, we've been here before. We've been, even when we're down nine, you know, Max being vocal, guys on the bench being vocal on the court, getting proper stops, getting rebounds, and executing offensively.
Donovan Mitchell pretty good last night. James Harden, credit to him, 30 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists in the win. Sean Kelly, ESPN play-by-play man on the Cavalier comeback.
Down 9 in Detroit's building, and they ignored it, and they kept going, and they kept plugging away at it, and basically allowed James Harden to kind of lead the way for them. Obviously, the big shot by Max Strus, who had an unbelievable game. Mitchell, who had not hit a 3 all night, hits a 3 down the stretch. And the next thing you know, they have the ball and a chance to win it. Now, they failed to score in that final possession of regulation, but they started overtime the right way and never gave the lead back. It's a remarkable turnaround in that game. And in a lot of ways, just another night in the NBA playoffs. I mean, just when you think you know, you don't.
And again, Cleveland wins last night, setting up a potential closeout game on their home floor. Pistons at Cavs Friday night, 6 o'clock on Prime Video. Cleveland a 3.5-point favorite there. Also on Friday, which means no games tonight, Spurs and the T-Wolves from Minneapolis. Potential closeout for San Antonio, 8:30 on Prime Video. Spurs favored by 4.5 points as of this morning. The big talk of the offseason, which has begun for the L.A. Lakers, is LeBron James. Where does he go? Does he play at all? And for how much will he play? Here's Brian Windhorst on the potential for a pay cut for LeBron James to stick around in L.A.
The Lakers don't want to lose LeBron James. They don't want to lose his 21 points, 7 rebounds, and 7 assists a game. But they don't want to pay $50 million for it, because the rest of the league isn't going to come bidding $50 million. But here's the reality. If you have a superstar player, and LeBron James is still an all-star, and he is still a superstar player, it's very hard to ask that player to take a pay cut, whether he's 21 or 41. And if you want LeBron to take a pay cut, you better bring him a reason to take a pay cut and explain that, yes, the team was 0-8 against the Thunder this year, but if we acquire this player or these two players with the money you're going to leave on the table, we can overcome that. I think LeBron would be open to that. But the concept that he's just not as good anymore and that maybe he's only worth $30 million instead of $50, you're not getting that from LeBron James. LeBron James doesn't believe in that, and I don't expect him to accept that. And I'll tell you one thing. If you're the Lakers, if you force LeBron to leave, he'll go somewhere else and play for less money. He won't want to stay for the Lakers and play for less money if he thinks it's an insult.
And that is LeBron James' latest there. Brian Windhorst on the news. Stanley Cup playoffs. Minnesota had a 3-0 lead after one. The Colorado Avalanche would not quit. They had one goal in the second, two in the final closing moments, final closing minutes, 2.5 minutes to go. They got their second goal, and then a little bit later on than that, their third goal to tie it all, 3-3, going into overtime, and the Avs had a pretty darn open look at the net on an offensive sprint out.
Cross-ice goal, he couldn't get the stick on it. Quickly ahead, into the Minnesota zone, it's Natchez. Natchez, try to score!
Brett Kulak, the hero for the Avalanche, and you heard it there, Marty Natchez making his way around the net and finding the defenseman for not a wide-open goal, but a pretty darn favorable look in a 4-3 win for Colorado. They win the series 4-1. Here is Kulak himself on the game-winning goal last night that propels his team to the Western Conference Finals.
You always like to dream about it, but like you say, the player I am, I'm not the guy everyone's looking down the bench at. Like, all right, get out there and go win it for us. No, it's been good. It was a tough series. That's a good team over there. So for us to play the way we did and get the job done, and then just for me, that was a special goal in my career for sure.
And that's Brett Kulak, defenseman for Colorado. The difference last night, 4-3 in overtime. Nathan MacKinnon on the tough start and the resilience of the Avs.
It was a tough night at the start, but the good news is we were down early and we had time to come back. You know, it wasn't too late to come back. And you know, we figured it's a long time for someone to hold a lead against us. We have confidence in our game. We could get it going. I felt like we just needed to survive that first 10 by them. They were pushing hard. That was fun. A lot of fun.
Nathan MacKinnon, a lot of fun indeed. They're moving on to the Western Conference Finals. They'll see the winner of the Golden Knights and the Ducks in the next round. Canadians at Sabres tonight, 6 o'clock on TNT. That series tied at 2 apiece. Buffalo, a thin favorite there, -120. Golden Knights and the Ducks, game number 6. Knights looking to close it out on the road. 8:30 tonight on TNT. Vegas, a -110. Even thinner odds to win tonight on the road in Anaheim. A reminder, USHL hockey has set the Clark Cup final. It'll be the Muskegon Lumberjacks against your Sioux Falls Stampede. Stampede beat Fargo on Tuesday night 3-2 to win the series 3-2 and advance to the Clark Cup finals in search of Clark Cup number 4 in franchise history for Sioux Falls. Over to Major League Baseball, Byron Buxton had a long ball in the first, and here's what he did in the third yesterday.
And he swings and hits this one high in the air to deep left field, and that ball is gone into the upper tank for Byron Buxton, number 15 for Buck. Two pitches, two home runs for Byron Buxton.
Buxton wasn't the only one digging the long ball yesterday. Cody Clemens also delivered in the bottom of the eighth, but too little too late as the Twins fall 9-5. Derek Shelton on the struggles of starting pitcher Simeon Woods Richardson, who with the latest loss yesterday fell to 0-6 with a 7.71 ERA.
Yeah, it's challenging because I know he's putting in the work and, you know, I know he's kind of grinding through it. And ultimately, I think it comes down to, like, we got to get ahead of hitters more, and we got to be in a situation where we can put guys away.
Minnesota Twins lose yesterday 9-5. New record is 19-24. Other AL Central finals, Cleveland over the Angels 4-2. The Detroit Tigers fell against the Mets at Citi Field 3-2 in extras. And then Kansas City and Chicago faced off. White Sox are .500 now, 21-21 with a 6-5 win yesterday against the Royals, who are also, like the Twins, 19-24. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, Rockies and Pirates underway here in about 30 minutes from Pittsburgh. Tigers and Mets from Citi Field, 12:10. Marlins at Twins, 12:40. Noon. Pregame coverage right here on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. Other area matchups on the way. Padres at Brewers, Cardinals at A's. Braves host the Cubs at 6:15. And the nightcap, Royals at the White Sox from Chicago, a 6:40 go time. The NFL schedule release is tonight, which means tomorrow we will have official scheduling news and nuggets on paper, real schedules to break down, preseason, regular season, maybe postseason for your favorite team. How about those Chicago Bears? Everybody's got something nice to say about them lately. Here's Dominique Foxworth taking his turn.
I think it's possible that they may not have as many wins. They may not win the division, but I think they're going to be a better team. They've addressed some issues in the secondary with their safeties, but more importantly, they can effectively run the ball. That's one thing that they've always been able to do, or at least Ben Johnson's always been able to do, and they did incredibly well last year against some really good teams. I have no reason to believe, as long as they got Bradbury in there to replace Dahlman's retirement at center, I have no reason to believe that this rushing attack is going to fall off. As long as that's there, I think this team will be fine. They'll get better and they'll be contenders in the NFC.
There you go. Dominique Foxworth talking about the Chicago Bears being better, not necessarily in win total, but certainly thinks that the roster in its entirety will be a better football team this year than last. The New York Giants have nowhere to go but up, and Damian Woody says their quarterback, Flynn, and simply just needs to be on the football field.
I think Jackson Dart can be an absolute superstar. I love watching him play, you know, but again, like, when you're the quarterback, you're literally the face of the whole operation. You got to be available. If you're not available, you're no good to anyone.
Not available, no good to anybody indeed. Jackson Dart looked pretty darn good in his rookie season. We'll wait and see what lies ahead of him. NCAA football, the big news around the corner, of course, just like with the basketball tournament, is possible expansion. Grumpy old man extraordinaire Paul Feinbaum talking about expanding to 24 teams and why he really isn't a big fan.
The right number is probably 4, but we have 12 and we're going to 16 or 24. 24 is the worst possibility, I think, in the history of this game, because it is going to devalue, dilute, and perhaps destroy the greatest football season of them all, and that's the regular season in college football. The big games at the end of the season are going to be meaningless. This is not the NFL where you try to position for a wild card or a home field. There just simply aren't enough good teams, and I respect Jim Phillips, but the fact that the ACC campaign against Notre Dame by pushing Miami is just laughable, that now he's talking about Notre Dame being a championship-worthy team. They weren't a championship-worthy team. They lost 2 games, and they really didn't have that much of an argument. But the point is that television and all these other forces are driving it. This is about the Big Ten, and they're getting a lot of help. And the SEC is right to say, no, we don't want that. And by the way, the most important thing Jim Phillips said, if I can say this on ESPN, is that ESPN doesn't want it either. And right now, they control the CFP.
And again, the FCS level of college football would argue differently. 2014 playoff is pretty darn solid. It's engineered masterfully. You get additional home games on your home field. It's pretty darn fun. I will say this, though, in regards to the 2014 FCS postseason, it is rare that we see deep runs from unseeded teams. We're fresh off one that we just saw from Illinois State that was pretty darn fun. Buckle up, all the way to the national championship game. That was awesome to see. 24 teams is doable. It's feasible. But Feinbaum, as grumpy as he can be, is not wrong about devaluing the regular season, the resume, building that resume throughout. And then late in the year, if you're already in the field and you got some injury concerns, or certain matchup, whatever you might want to play for, that's the right that you've earned. So yeah, it's still going to be fun. It's still going to be football. But yes, the regular season will be devalued, at least incrementally. Not if, but when we expand from 12 teams to 16, 20, 24, 48, whatever the weird number out in the future might be. Maybe we start the season in a gigantic college football playoff bracket. Who knows where we're going, but certainly it is a lot of change on the horizon across the sports world, particularly in the college games. Over to the world of golf. PGA Championship underway. Aldrick Pottgeiter among the leaders so far at the PGA Championship. But the best story of the weekend could be Rory McIlroy, according to ESPN golf analyst Michael Collins.
Rory winning 2 in a row. Now the Grand Slam's in play. Where the other ones, the stories are awesome and gone. Where if Rory wins and he's got the Masters and the PGA, then it's like, next up, U.S. Open. Like, then the story continues. Not only is the story great, but now the story continues. Now it pushes forward. And that's always the best case scenario, right? Like, what was the biggest news coming out of horse racing after Kentucky Derby? What, the horse not running? So there's no Triple Crown talk? Guess who's talking about horse racing now? Nobody. So it's like, if Rory wins, oh boy. Oh yeah. Yes, please. Give me that.
Certainly. Would be a great story for Rory McIlroy to win. We'll get you the latest leaderboard check here in just a moment. As soon as the old internet spins around and spits it out here for me, Aldrich Potgieter among the leaders right now, 3 under. Stefan Jaeger, Minwoo Lee, Bud Cauley also there. Other names near the top of the leaderboard, Ryan Fox, Joaquin Niemann, Nikolai Hosgaard, and Jason Day. Very early stages right now of that particular tournament at the PGA Championship. As we move forward through the scorecard here, the D2 softball tournament will get underway for Augustana this afternoon, 3 o'clock, as they take on Missouri Southern. Augustana champions in the NSIC. They are an 8 seed. Missouri Southern hosting that regional as the top seed this afternoon at 3 o'clock. D1 softball, South Dakota and Nebraska collide tomorrow evening, 5:30 on ESPN+. And D2 baseball, Augustana in action tonight, 6 o'clock start against Northwest Missouri State, a 4 seed, Augie a 5 seed, and they're down in a regional hosted by Pittsburgh State on the D2 tournament. Diving into your ReliaBank headlines of the day now, Augustana Vikings softball fresh off winning their third straight NSIC championship. They'll make the trip down to Joplin, Missouri to match up against top seed in Missouri Southern. This afternoon at 3 o'clock, Vikings were selected as the 8 seed in the Central Region. Within the Vikings pod, Missouri Southern, Southern Arkansas, and St. Cloud State. In the double elimination bracket, Augie could also face 4-seeded Southern Arkansas or 5th-seeded St. Cloud. In the other Central Region sits the 2nd seed Pittsburgh State, 3rd-seeded Central Oklahoma, 6th-seeded Winona State, and 7th-seeded Rogers State. Full preview there for Augustana Vikings softball, GoAugie.com. Same place where you can find a big preview article for Augie baseball. 17th-rated team in the country. Opens play in Pittsburgh, Kansas at the NCAA Central Region Tournament on Thursday. The number 3-seed Pittsburgh State is the 1-seed in the tournament and is set to host at Al Ortolani Field. Field trip to regionals is the 7th in 8 years for Augustana. They're the 5 seed, and the Gorillas are set to play Arkansas Tech as the 8 seed on Thursday at 3. Augie again coming up this evening time, a 6 o'clock projected start time from down there in Pittsburgh, Kansas. Now, we will hop off of your ReliaBank headlines of the day, hop into the latest news and nuggets from the NBA, the NHL, and so much more when we come back as we make our way through hour number 2 on this Thursday, May 14th edition of Overtime. You're listening, as always, right here on your Sioux Falls sports leader. It's ESPN 102.3, AM 1000, KSOO.
Get ESPN with the free app and online. Grab your phone or call us up on your smart device. Now let's get you back to Overtime with Bert Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Right back with you. It's hour number 2 on a Thursday edition of Overtime. We hopped on the air at 10 o'clock this morning, off the air at noon, making way for those Minnesota Twins. Pregame coverage begins at noon, 12:40 for the final game. Rubber match of the series against the Miami Marlins, 12:40 game start, noon. Pregame coverage right here on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. Well, we start off our foray, toe dip into the NHL talk with some tough news to pass along. From north of the border up in Edmonton, despite making back-to-back Stanley Cup final appearances in 2024 and 2025, the Oilers have decided to make a change, firing head coach Chris Knobloch, according to ESPN. Knobloch signed a 3-year extension with the Oilers back in October that was set to begin with next year and run through 2029, but the team, who had preseason title expectations, were an average team throughout the season. He turned up under the coach when superstar captain Connor McDavid effusively expressed his admiration in March for Lightning bench boss John Cooper, who coached McDavid at the Four Nations Face-Off and Olympic Games in Milan. The sentiment behind McDavid's comments seemed to suggest a certain dissatisfaction with his current coach, though McDavid later said he was, quote, not taking shots. Oilers regrouped and went 12-6-3 over March and April to finish in second place in the Pacific before they were eliminated by the Ducks in six games in the first round of the postseason. Knobloch was a surprise hire by the Oilers back in November of 2023, poached from his position as the head coach of the AHL's Hartford Wolfpack to replace Jay Woodcroft 13 games into a disastrous start in Edmonton's season. And since that time, Edmonton has been able to go back-to-back in back-to-back seasons to the Stanley Cup with very much a star-laden roster, Leon Draisaitl, as well as, of course, the aforementioned Connor McDavid. And this is where you can find some commonalities across the sports world and just say, you know what, if you don't win a title with top-tier talent, 1 year, that's fine. 2 years, that's a concern. 3 years, you may as well get out of town. Just ask Sean McDermott in Buffalo. Ask John Harbaugh in Baltimore. Many, many other coaches. Somehow Zach Taylor gets a pass in Cincinnati. That's a different story. But over time, when you have the tools and the recipe to win it all, and it comes out of the oven not sitting right, not looking right, not tasting right, not leading to a title, people are going to make a change. And unfortunately for Edmonton, they're going to make that change by firing head coach Chris Knobloch as of this morning. Well, the Minnesota Wild bowed out of the Stanley Cup playoffs last night after Brett Kulak was a hero as a defenseman, his first goal since January. Will certainly be one to remember for him and a building packed with fans who witnessed in dramatic fashion the Avs end a series at home for the first time in 18 years. It was not easy. It was not pretty. It may have not been fun all the way through. Colorado defenseman scored just 4 minutes into overtime after Nathan MacKinnon tied it late in regulation, and the Avs advanced to the Western Conference Finals with a 4-3 win over the Wild in Game 5 last night. Kulak capped off a wild comeback for the Avs, who trailed 3-0 midway through the second period. Minnesota led 3-0 after one. Colorado moves on to the conference final for the eighth time since relocating to Denver back in 1995. Certainly, the Avs will face the Vegas or Anaheim winner. Vegas leads that series 3-2, but a joyful, jubilant crowd in Denver behind their Stanley Cup favorite, Avalanche. We'll get you those odds in a moment, but let's talk about the Minnesota Wild facing elimination. Wild once again had control last night until they didn't. Trailing 3-1 in the series, Wild built a 3-goal first period lead that ultimately eroded with the Avs scoring 4 straight goals, including 2 in the final 4 minutes of regulation. Brett Kulak finishing the job in overtime. Wild forward Matt Zuccarello telling reporters, "I think everyone feels empty right now. It wasn't the finish we wanted. We knew it would be a tough series. Hard to explain after a game like that." Moving on, Coach Hines quoted in the story saying, "Both teams put a real competitive effort on the ice. They had stretches where they pushed. We had stretches where we pushed. I think that's what you expect when two types of teams go at it. But the Minnesota Wild, pretty darn good this year. It's a win of a season. Doesn't make last night sting any less, though, for Minnesota." Quick look at the NHL odds the rest of the way. Two-horse race in the eyes of Vegas. It's Colorado back out in front, plus 130. Carolina, plus 160. Big step down to Vegas. Bigger step down to Buffalo. Then you got Montreal and Anaheim. Anaheim facing elimination tonight on home ice. Over to the NBA now, where we start in Chicago, where there's going to be a lot of turnover this offseason. But Josh Giddey's not going to be a part of it. The guard had arthroscopic surgery on his right ankle and is expected to be ready for the start of training camp. Team announcement came just yesterday. Bulls said he'll be sidelined from basketball activities for 3 months. Giddey averaged career highs in scoring, assists, and rebounds through hamstring and right ankle injuries, and they limited him to just 54 games. Bulls, of course, were putrid this past year, 31-51, 12th in the Eastern Conference, and they've got pick number 4 coming up in the NBA draft. There is optimism in the Big Apple that Knicks forward OG Anunoby will return from his hamstring injury by the start of the Eastern Conference Finals. According to ESPN's Shams Charania, Anunoby exited Game 2 of the Eastern Conference semis against the Sixers in the final 2 minutes. Barring a setback, Anunoby expected to return for the start of the next series for New York. And if you think There has been more drama, more whistles, more complaining as we've made our way through the NBA playoffs. You're not wrong. NBA referees are the stars of the show. They're the bells of the ball. They're calling about 11% more personal fouls per game so far in these playoffs than they did during the regular season, a differential that's on pace to be one of the largest in the history of the NBA. And in the league's eyes, that's to be expected. Mindful of criticism from players and coaches, NBA Senior Vice President of Referee Development and Training, Monty McCutcheon, acknowledges there's a difference between the regular season and the playoffs. Here's what he had to say. It would be very difficult on our players, on our coaches, most certainly on our referees, if the intensity of a seven-game series that we see in the playoffs exhibited itself over 82 games. NBA playoff basketball is one of the great spectacles of all sport, in my opinion. You get the combination of the passion and strength of our players and coaching staffs in tight spaces over a seven-game series, and I think that absolutely makes for a different game. He's not wrong. You might say, why? Every game should be officiated the exact same. That's true, ideally, but he's not wrong. The intensity, the pressure, the try, gotta have it moments are much more on display than they are back in October of the NBA season. November of the NBA season, rather. But certainly, in the postseason, the officiating should be ramped up a little bit. You don't want the officials to be the star of the show. You don't want, although we're getting constant complaints from coaches and players every single night about, did you see that call? That was absolute garbage. Or, hey, I don't get calls. I just lost a series. I'm going to blame it on the other team. From Boston and Jaylen Brown. But then also, is it 11%? That seems pretty high. I would be fine if it was 3, 4, 5% higher. You understand the magnitude of the moment. The intensity of the moment is heightened in the NBA postseason. But again, I'm not going to argue and split hairs over percentages, but 11% feels pretty darn high as a difference between the number of calls in the regular season versus the postseason so far. And we're not even to the higher stakes series yet. We're not even to the Eastern and Western Conference Finals, and those stats certainly a little concerning for the NBA. Lastly, from the world of round ball for now, the Cavaliers rallied from a 9-point deficit with less than 3 minutes to go in regulation last night, then beat the Pistons in overtime, 117-113, to take a 3-2 series lead. Cavaliers coach Kenny Atkinson saying that stretch right there says a lot about our progress, our mental toughness progress. These guys, they never get down. According to ESPN Analytics, Detroit had a 97% chance to win when it went up by 9 late in regulation, but Cleveland finished the game on a 23-10 run. James Harden had 30 points and 6 assists in his best playoff scoring performance with the team. Max Strus had 20 points and 8 rebounds off the bench. Donovan Mitchell had 7 of his 21 points in overtime. Max Strus saying resiliency, grit, take everything we had. It wasn't our best night, but I think that's what speaks volumes to getting this win and finding a way. Well, Cleveland is not super high. They're smack dab in the middle of the odds the rest of the way. OKC, a well-deserved favorite right now, negative odds territory, which means they don't pay you back dollar for dollar, minus 175. Spurs are plus 340. Knicks are plus 550. Then you got the Cavs at plus 3,000. Big step down to the Pistons at plus 6,000. T-Wolves plus 15,000 as they will face elimination coming up Friday night. Spurs and T-Wolves from Minneapolis, 8:30 on Prime Video. Pistons and Cavs as the Pistons up against the rails there in Cleveland. 6 o'clock Prime Video on Friday night. Night off in the NBA, but there's never a night off, never a day off in the National Football League. We got all sorts of news to dive into. We'll start with the Green Bay Packers. Full disclosure, they've got a first-of-its-kind NFL game on their schedule confirmed coming up this year. It'll be in the month of November in a certain week that centers around the kitchen table and a big old turkey on the plate. They're not playing on Thanksgiving. They're playing the day before Turkey Day, the first time the NFL has ever done that, which sets up a really unique scenario where the Packers could play, in theory, games this year on Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday. Interesting stuff for the Green Bay Packers. We'll also talk about an interesting signing, an elite NFL pedigree. A famous father of the newly signed Packer wide receiver as of yesterday. That news coming up next, along with the good, the bad, and the ugly on a Thursday edition of Overtime.
Overtime is in the middle of your workday. Unwrap your sandwich and get caught up with Bert Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you, a prolonged so long segment here on a Thursday. NFL news, starting with my Green Bay Packers signing a very notable name yesterday, and they'll also get into the good, the bad, and the ugly here in just a moment, but let's dive right in. The Packers continue to change up their offseason roster this week. Previously, the team added tight end Luke Lachey and cornerback MJ Devonshire off of waivers, and yesterday, the Packers were awarded receiver Brendan Rice, the son of NFL Hall of Famer Jerry Rice from the Las Vegas Raiders. Rice was initially a seventh-round pick a couple years ago of the L.A. Chargers, did not stick around on that roster. Patriots, Raiders, cut out of Vegas. He signs with Green Bay. It's going to be interesting. Not going to say he's going to go on to be his dad. We'll see if he can make the squad. Green Bay's got a very deep wide receiver room, not elite at this stage, but deep. They've got Christian Watson, Matthew Golden, Jaden Reed penciled in as starters. Savion Williams, probably the preferred guy to take over wide receiver four. Bo Melton, Sky Moore, guys that have been on NFL rosters before, contributed in different roles, special teams aces. And then you get the names J. Michael Sturdivant, Will Shepard, Jacoby Keeney-James, Isaiah Neyor, and Brendan Rice. They're competing for wide receiver six, wide receiver seven. Going to be an uphill battle, but a really cool story regardless. Jerry Rice's kid plays for the Green Bay Packers for now. Speaking of those Packers, they will visit the Los Angeles Rams in the NFL's first Thanksgiving Eve game. The league announced on Wednesday. The game will take place at 7 o'clock Central Time and will be a Netflix exclusive broadcast. It was also announced on Wednesday that Netflix will air the NFL Honor Show during Super Bowl week, and also are bringing back the quarterback series for a third year. This year's featured athletes, Jaden Daniels in D.C., Cam Ward in Nashville, Baker Mayfield in Tampa, and Bengals quarterback Joe Flacco on that particular series. The complete regular season schedule will be announced at 7 o'clock Central tonight. A two-hour primetime special will air on ESPN. Transactions league-wide in the National Football League, you may need to know from yesterday. After adding much-needed experience to their wide receiver room, the New York Jets agreed to terms with free agent wide receiver Tim Patrick yesterday. The 32-year-old, who visited the team facility on Wednesday, will sign a one-year deal for about $1.5 million. That is slightly above the NFL's vet minimum. The Jets bolstered their receiving core in the draft, selecting Omar Cooper Jr. out of Indiana, but they wanted to add a veteran presence to a young group. Their top three receivers, Garrett Wilson, Isaiah Williams, are 25, and Adonai Mitchell, just 23 years old. Suddenly, Jets have a pretty decent wide receiver core, assuming Omar Cooper Jr. can come in and be something. That's never a sure thing with first-round wide receivers, but Omar Cooper Jr. comes in as a nice year. Garrett Wilson is your alpha. Adonai Mitchell can give you something. And Tim Patrick's the veteran. That feels like a pretty big upgrade for the New York Jets based on recent seasons. His best years, Tim Patrick's best years, back in 2020 and 2021 with Denver, where he caught 104 combined passes for nearly 1,500 yards and 11 scores. 6'5". Patrick also brings big size to the group there in New York. Vikings news to pass along. We somehow didn't get to it in hour number one. Heavy.com on the news that a former Viking quarterback has announced his retirement. Fifth round pick out of 2023 out of BYU, quarterback Jaren Hall is calling it a career after 2 years in the league. There's a lot I could say, but mostly I just feel grateful. Hall wrote on Instagram, "Sports have been woven into nearly every part of my life. They've challenged me, humbled me, shaped my faith, introduced me to lifelong friendships, and given me experiences I never could have imagined. From growing up in this community and representing my hometown to having the opportunity to play in the National Football League, it has all been a blessing." Hall, drafted by the Vikings back in 2023, appeared in three games during his rookie season. His most memorable moment was a strong game against the Atlanta Falcons that was unfortunately cut short due to injury. After getting released by Minnesota the following year, latched on with Seattle, wrapped up his career with the UFL's Birmingham Stallions. Jaren Hall finished his career with 168 yards and one interception through the air. The Miami Dolphins and running back Devon Achane have agreed on a four-year contract extension as of yesterday worth $64 million. A source confirmed as much to ESPN. The deal includes $32 million guaranteed. $16 million average annual value makes him the third highest paid running back in the NFL. That feels about right now based on the market. Saquon Barkley still one. Christian McCaffrey, two, and those figures are $19 million or more per year. Devon Achane slotting in third at $16 million per season. And before long, we'll see Jahmyr Gibbs, Bijan Robinson, and others slot in above where Devon Achane is. So this is a pretty good deal, a prudent deal to make, but a rare one for a bad team, the Dolphins, that aren't going anywhere fast, at least you don't think so, just yet this year. They're rebuilding. They tore it down to the studs. New quarterback. Devon Achane's pretty much the only notable returning starter that's not on the O-line or D-line in Miami this year. And Achane gets a four-year, $64 million extension in a unique situation, but a well-deserved contract extension. A little bit concerning news for the New York Giants yesterday. Giants wide receiver Malik Nabers underwent a second procedure on his right knee, a source confirmed to ESPN. It was considered a cleanup procedure after Nabers tore his right ACL all the way back in September. Surgery was to remove scar tissue that was causing stiffness in the knee. Giants remain hopeful that Nabers will be ready for week one. The Giants open the season September 13th, Sunday Night Football against the rival Dallas Cowboys at home. Nabers has dealt with knee stiffness throughout his recovery, walking with a hands-free crutch in January. Original surgery back on October 28th. So quite the delay for a cleanup surgery. Malik Nabers still targeting a week one return. Now, let's finish up the show with a lot to get to, a lot of good news. I'll preface it by telling you that. A lot of good news in the latest edition of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly here on a Thursday.
Many days there are those who can be called a problem child. You know the ones. They have a tendency to display an ugly side. They have their whiny moments. Some display an outright bad side of themselves. And then there are those who stand out in a good way. Well, here they are. The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Time for the good, the bad, and the ugly on a Thursday. Brought to you by Lewis Lawn and Garden Center and your local Lewis Drug. This week, you can score Roundup Dual Action ready-to-use one-gallon fertilizer weed preventer for just $17.97. You save over $20 compared to the competitors. Kills and prevents new weeds for up to 4 months. You can use it along fences, around trees and landscape areas, or on driveways, patios, and sidewalks. Meet everything you need to help your lawn and garden succeed at your local Lewis Drug and Lewis Lawn and Garden Center. Well, all good news for Rory McIlroy. He's got big shoes to fill. The Masters champion made it through three holes on his first practice round Tuesday before he chose to walk in from Arana Mink because of a blister that was under the nail of his right pinky toe. On Wednesday, McIlroy made it through the nine-hole practice round without issue. I feel soft having to walk in because of a little toe, McIlroy said after his practice round. He did find a solution, McIlroy using a cushion around his pinky toe. And then he found a shoe a half size bigger and a little wider to give him some room. He said he felt fine, walked without any discomfort, and sees no reason why he cannot play this week. Let's quickly, while we have you on the subject of golf, see if we can track down where Rory is. I know his round is underway. If the internet will cooperate here, I will find out exactly where Rory is so far. He is even through 14, so tied for 20th with a zillion golfers day one and the PGA Championship. Other good news, for once, the last place Mets, ravaged by injuries, caught a break yesterday. Manager Carlos Mendoza said x-rays on Juan Soto's right foot came back negative after the star exited last night's win over the Tigers after fouling a ball off the top of his foot. Mendoza said, "We got good news there. He's day-to-day. We'll see how he comes in tomorrow, whether he's a player for us in the starting lineup. And then we'll see." Soto fouled the ball off his foot in the third inning against left-hander Framber Valdez and tried walking it off, but went down to the ground in pain. But the good news is imaging negative on a potential serious injury. Caitlin Clark admitted to being a bit anxious before her first regular season WNBA game since July. Injuries limited her to just 13 games last year, and here she was stepping back onto the court on Saturday at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. The 2024 top pick, rookie of the year, two-time All-Star, had officially returned. She finished with 20 points, 7 assists, and 5 rebounds. Clark saying, "I feel good. Started off a little slow. I think that was just the anxiety of game number one. Trying to work through that, but overall, I feel good. Felt fast out there. Felt like I was literally a couple buckets away from putting together a really, really good game and helping us win." The issue Saturday, they did lose to Dallas 107-104. Speaking of amazing trailblazer athletes in the women's sports scene, Catherine Legge, get to know the name, the last name spelled L-E-G-G-E, will attempt to become the first woman to complete the double by racing in the Indy 500 and Coca-Cola 600 on the same day. Legge's agency, Branded Management, announced on Wednesday she would add the May 24th NASCAR race, competing in the number 78 car for Live Fast Motorsports, to her entry in the Indy 500 with AJ Foyt's Motorsports number 11 car. Legge saying to USA Today, "It's another groundbreaking thing I can showcase to the world, really, that if you set your mind to things, you can do anything. And you can do things that maybe you never even dreamt of before." Legge is 45 years old and is set to enter her fifth Indy 500. Her best finish has been 22nd place back in 2012, was 29th last year, raced in 8 NASCAR Cup races over the past 2 years, and finished 35th last week at Watkins Glen. All the best, trailblazing indeed. Catherine Legge, a name to know in the professional racing circuit. Other good news, Professional Women's Hockey League announced yesterday that they're bringing women's pro hockey to the distinctly different markets of Las Vegas, Nevada, and Hamilton, Ontario. And there's one more addition still to come to make it an even dozen teams for a league preparing to double in size since its launch in 2024. The Las Vegas team will be formally introduced at a news conference at the Vegas Golden Knights home arena later on Wednesday, with Hamilton to follow on Thursday. There's a lot of excitement and adrenaline and a lot of let's go. League Executive Vice President of Business Operations Amy Shear told the AP, as the addition of Detroit was announced last week, and Las Vegas, Hamilton, Ontario, the latest two cities adding PWHL franchises as that continues to grow at a big-time pace. Bad news for the New York Mets. The good news earlier on Soto, the bad news for catcher Francisco Alvarez. He was placed on the injured list yesterday, will undergo surgery to repair a meniscus tear in his right knee. Mets manager Carlos Mendoza said that he hopes Alvarez can return in 6 to 8 weeks. That's the latest on the New York Mets. How about the New York Yankees? Max Fried's performance was shaky again, and now the Yankees have to worry about his elbow. Fried was pulled from Wednesday's 7-0 loss at Baltimore after only 3 innings because of soreness in his pitching elbow. The 3-time All-Star expected to get scanned and examined today by team physician Dr. Christopher Ahmad in New York. Fried saying, "Just a little uncomfortable, especially in between innings. Hard for me to kind of warm up, loosen up. The first hitter of the inning will be like 88, 90, 91. And by the end, fourth, fifth hitter, 20 pitches in, I'm able to get things loosened up." That's the latest there. We'll keep you updated on Max Fried and his status moving forward. And how about this story? Out of Major League Baseball, the superstition on display of baseball players from Little League all the way on up to the majors. Cal Raleigh was desperate to shake things up while mired in the longest hitless streak in the majors this season. So on the advice of Seattle pitcher Logan Gilbert, the Mariners star catcher showered in full uniform after Monday night's game. And on Tuesday, things went Raleigh's way for the first time all month as he snapped an 0-for-38 slump with 2 singles and a 10-2 win over the Astros. Logan gave me some good advice to wash off the bad mojo or juju from the baseball gods. So yeah, it worked. He was right. So I got to give him credit where credit's due. Raleigh hit in the 7th inning, was his first since April 27th. He was 0-for-2 with a walk on Tuesday when he connected off Jaden Murray with a 1-out in the frame. Cal Raleigh showering in the uniform, the latest weird superstition in Major League Baseball. But so far, so good in the wake of the shower. The Royals-White Sox game at Wrigley Field last night was delayed for a brief time after a fan fell into the Kansas City bullpen in right field. The fan can be seen on video tumbling over a rail above the bullpen during the bottom of the third when the White Sox scored a run on a sack fly. The fan appeared to rise from his seat as the ball took flight before falling. And the game went on until the top of the fourth after Royal shortstop Bobby Witt Jr. walked. The game was halted when a stadium official flagged attention of the umpire crew chief Chris Conroy, alerting him to the incident after receiving assistance. Fan was taken out of the bullpen on a gurney. The White Sox said the fan was subsequently taken to the hospital, but did not immediately have more information on the fan's condition. And of course, we will update you whenever we have an update on that story. And lastly, in the world of golf, how does this happen? With all of the reminders, the professionals around, how does this happen? This is a very ugly situation from Newton Square, Pennsylvania, and the PGA Championship as of today. South African golfer Garrick Higo was penalized 2 strokes for being late to his Thursday morning tee time for the first round in the PGA Championship. Higo, who is ranked 85th in the world, was scheduled to tee off the number one hole at 7:18 a.m. Eastern Time, playing with 2003 PGA Championship winner Sean Machio and Michael Brennan. And the PGA of America said at a news conference that Higo was practicing on the putting green but was not within the area defined at the starting point of his starting time. The PGA of America's local rules in terms of competition define the starting point of a round on the number 1 and 10 holes by the, quote, rope, galley stakes, green bike fencing, or blue stakes, blue dots, or blue lines. The 27-year-old was allowed to remain in the tournament because of an exception to Rule 5.3A, which allows a golfer to arrive at the starting point ready to play no more than 5 minutes late. But with all the reminders out there, TV people, course people, tournament officials, you're going to be late to tee off at a PGA Championship event. Pretty crazy, pretty ugly stuff. As we say so long to the good, the bad, and the ugly. Help your lawn not be bad or ugly this year. A visit to Lewis Lawn and Garden Center. That is the Thursday edition of Overtime. Tomorrow, I'm licking my chops. I can't wait to talk about the Green Bay Packers. Matt Frelick will join us tomorrow on the program. Deep dive on the Packer draft and the roster questions that need answers over the summer. We'll talk to you tomorrow when the next edition of Overtime rolls around right here on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader.